Welcome back to our 25th episode of
Flick or Flop. I'm your host, Jeremy Kibler,
the Artful Critic, and I am your co-host, Alex Maynard. And we are back for a second full recording of this episode.
Woohoo!
Since, you know,
yeah.
Things happen,
yeah.
You get people call you while you're recording a full podcast, and it all gets deleted.
Well, hey, they didn't know. So, we're here to talk about movies again.
This is going to be a much better recording, I think. Like it was meant to be.
Right.
Just like the law of attraction.
You put the positivity in the world. Yeah. All right. So,
too funny.
Yeah.
So we have five flicks or five flops or a combination to go over today.
Exactly.
And we're going to start off talking about the law of attraction. No, we're not going to school you.
Or it's called The Secret, Dare to Dream.
So this is an adaptation of Rhonda Byrne's bestseller, The Secret.
That's right. So this stars Katie Holmes. And she plays Miranda, this widowed single mom living in New Orleans. She has three kids, and she's trying her hardest to, you know, work and keep a roof above them, but her roof is literally leaky. And then one magical day, she meets Bray, he's a professor, right? He's this optimistic professor, and you know, earlier in the day, he had an envelope that he was supposed to bring her, but they meet cute over a fender bender, and she invites him in. They have pizza, and it goes from there. They develop this magical romance. I know I'm sounding so cynical right now, but it's, you know, he tells her life doesn't have to be just a series of unfortunate events, and his positive thinking kind of turns their lives around.
He's the rainbow at the end of the storm. If we want to really go high concept, we have negative woman struggling to support a family. Yes. Godsend comes into the picture and turns their whole world
around. He's charming, he's smart, he's handsome, but not too handsome. He's like a mixture.
He's very angelic. He comes across as angelic and compassionate and kind.
Right. But he might have a secret.
He may be delivering the secret.
Right. Literally in an envelope that the hurricane takes. But anyway, so since you liked this a little bit more than I did, or maybe a lot more than I did, you liked it.
I think that it's really relatable to a lot of people right now. I think that a lot of, single moms who are on the verge of, you know, one bad thing that's going to completely break their lives and come crashing down literally in this sense.
It's very optimistic, and I guess if you are a single mom, you are the target audience.
Exactly. And there's a lot of them out there that do watch these things at night whenever their kids are going to bed.
So wasn't this book Oprah approved? I'm sure it was.
It was on Oprah's book club.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that this is great because it's continuing the dissemination of the universal law of attraction, and just what you focus on expands. I think that's an important message to draw home to people and for them to kind of like open up their eyes. But I think that for those of us that are kind of like fluent in that, it does come across as really hokey. And even those who aren't, you know, it's like, oh, why are you smacking me across the head for nothing? Like, it's like, really? Did it have to be that cheesy?
Yeah, that's my problem with it. It's not that I don't, understand the law of attraction and don't agree with positive thinking and all of that. It's just like how the movie presents it, I found to be very like overly sentimental, very hokey, hand-holding, contrived.
Hallmark, Lifetime.
Yeah, it was a Hallmark movie meets a Nicholas Sparks Sudzer.
It's like Knights at Rodanthe or whatever.
Oh my god, yeah.
Very much that.
It is. I feel like maybe this just shouldn't have been made into a movie, or they just should have made it into a better movie. It had three screenwriters. The director, Andy Tennant, did a bunch of romantic comedies, so this would seem to be like his bread and butter. But, you know, it's very pretty, very sun-dappled. You know, Katie Holmes was, I hate to say it, was she's surprisingly believable. But surprisingly believable as a working-class single mom. Because when you think of Katie Holmes, you think of, like, you know, she's
a successful woman.
Right. Yeah. She's Mrs. Well, she was Mrs. Tom Cruise. So
she was Mrs. Scientology.
And there's the whole Scientology thing, but that's a whole other conversation. Yeah, I don't know.
So you thought that, I think that we were talking about this and how maybe there were too many cooks in the kitchen.
Possibly, or yeah, I think it maybe should have just been one vision. I don't know if it just, I don't know, it felt like a lot of cliches, and it felt like the story and the characters were secondary to maybe, like, the spiritual message. I don't know, it just felt very ham-fisted, and yeah.
What's the most memorable part of the movie for you? Like, what would you, like, Waffle if you House. Were to think... yeah?
I'm kidding. That's where it ends. And it made me want waffles.
I mean, I do love the Waffle House, yeah. Smothered, yeah, covered, yeah. Diced, chopped, all of it.
Most memorable part, I mean, I don't know.
So it wasn't very memorable for you? If you have to sit here and think.
I mean, it had some, like, I mean, I remember it. It just, I don't know, the whole thing just, it hinges on a literal secret that Bray is holding for Miranda, and you just keep wondering, like, you know, the timing is just not right. He keeps wanting to tell her and he just can't, and when she finds out, it's just very melodramatic and, you know, plot twists, and I don't know, it just, it, yeah, again, the word hokey. It's, I didn't think this was a terrible movie. I know a lot of people are gonna be very cynical and just, like, you know, have fun with words and make fun of, rip it to shreds, but I think it's too nice of a movie to, like, really rip apart.
Those who look at the shadows will tear this movie apart, and those who choose to look at the light may appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, an opinion is an opinion, but yeah, I don't think this was a terrible movie. It just, I don't think it really set itself apart from any of, like, Nicholas Sparks or, and I like some of the Nicholas Sparks movies, but this was not,
I had such high hopes. Yeah. Literally, like, whenever you said they were making a movie about The Secret, I was like, oh my god, I love
and
it.
Like, and
like,
Katie Holmes is in it.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my god, Katie Holmes, nuh-uh, Scientology, that's so funny that she's in it. She would be, right? Like, it's right. Just so fitting. Like, the shoe fits, hey, right?
Right, exactly.
But I'm overall disappointed, I think, now that we keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Because as I'm thinking about it, what stands out for me most is the negative side of the movie, and I'm trying not to focus on the negative side. Mm-hmm. Especially with this type of message. But I'm too focused on that boyfriend and the mother-in-law. I don't know.
Maybe you're of two minds about it. Mm-hmm. Enjoyable in the moment, but then once you get to actually thinking about it, it's kind of like...
Well, and then maybe I'm just overthinking it.
Or maybe... Oh. maybe the filmmakers underthought it.
Well, there were too many thinking
yeah,
about
it. Too
things.
Many heads, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is The Secret... Dare to Dream. I don't like that subtitle. Dare to Dream. anyway, I would
too
give
many dreams. There I were know. Too many dreams trying to dream.
Right. So I would give The Secret, Dare to Dream, a flop.
I don't even know if I would call it a flick or a flop.
Yeah.
At that point,
you can do that. You can do whatever you want.
Indifferent.
Yeah.
I'm there Switzerland.
You there you go. You're like right in the middle. All right.
Leaning more towards liking it, but now that we have to like analyze it, I'm
you're allowed to like it. All right, so now we're going to kind of dip into the darkness a little bit.
well, since I was focused on the mother-in-law and boyfriend, all right, what do we got?
So, next up is She Dies Tomorrow. So this is kind of an experimental drama, very existential. It is a sophomore effort from an actress named Amy Simons. She actually made this movie. She self-financed it and used all of her salary from the Pet Sematary remake that she was in, and she made this little movie.
Oh my god, shut up.
Yeah, it's really funny. I love how she admitted that. But yeah, small little indie movie, self-financed it. A lot of familiar actors, like, in the indie filmmaking world. But this is definitely a movie that favors, you know, ambiguity and experiments with, like, narrative form. And so I guess I should say what it's about. So,
well, I was wondering.
She Dies Tomorrow. It's about this this recovering alcoholic. She just wakes up one morning realizing that she is going to die tomorrow. She doesn't know how.
She has a premonition.
She just know. Well, yes, but feeling. we don't see the premonition. It's a feeling. And, you know, she gets talking to one of her best friends who just thinks she's off the wagon again.
Uh-huh.
And, well, that friend ends up getting the same feeling. So it's kind of like a contagion. It's a contagious feeling. And then the best friend goes over to her, you know, her brother's house, and they get it, and that sort of thing. So it's just contagious. So this is, like, incidentally very timely in a way. I know that sounds ridiculous, but, like, just
with the spread of the virus.
The spread of the virus is very contagious, and this movie is very straightforward, but it's it is very experimental, as I said. It's not about plot. It's not entirely about character either. It's more about a mood, a tone, a feeling. Yeah, it's like low-key distressing because everybody kind of responds to it differently.
Are you just waiting for her
to die? Kind of, but it's not like a Final Destination horror movie. I don't even know if I would classify this as a horror movie. I mean, an existential horror film, if you will. I don't know. But yeah, it's a very small movie. I actually watched this twice. The first time, I didn't get a lot out of it. And the second time, I kind of got onto the wavelength of the movie and kind of met it halfway. And I feel like I got more out of it this time, the second time. And it's only, like, 84 minutes. So I didn't, like, you know, spend a lot of time on this movie. But it's definitely one of those movies that I feel like is it's easier to admire than it is to, like, enjoy it. But yeah, it's strange. It's kind of it's beautifully shot. It's kind of like a Rorschach test in a way.
A what now?
A Rorschach test, like an ink blot. Like, what do you see? Like,
oh, it's, gotcha.
It's okay. Up to.
It's open to interpretation.
So it's a cinematic Rorschach test. So okay. Yeah, I definitely recommend it if this is your thing. It's not going to be everyone's thing for sure.
I think I like her intention. Yeah. Her intention behind the film, like, it was just supposed to be a fun project. Like, is that? Was that really it?
Maybe fun. I don't know if fun's the right word, but she, I think she has a lot on her mind. And I think, I mean, this was definitely shot before COVID, but she said it had something to do with anxiety too. And how she always, whenever she's around her friends, she always ends up telling them how she feels more than she wants to. So it kind of, I don't know, that's how that whole contagious feeling came about, I guess. I don't know. Very interesting filmmaker, though. I love her as an actress.
Feelings are contagious.
Yes.
Vibes.
And I like that there's not a lot of exposition. Like, you don't know why people are feeling this, how they contract it, or, you know, you don't see them actually dying. It's not like a Final Destination movie, like I said. So, yeah, cool little indie. I think you can stream it on demand wherever you go for that. So I'd give it a flick. And then, while we're on indies,
I mean, that's all that's really coming
all
out.
All there really is, independent, yeah. Well, I mean, there's
no,
like
not
some bigger. Yeah, not necessarily.
Those that have been in post-production for a while, I guess.
Right, right. There, you know, for this pandemic, there have been a lot. I feel like I've seen more movies each month during this than I have when I actually have screenings to go to, honestly.
Well, we don't have that travel time.
Well, that too. That too. But I mean, I just feel like I'm getting more content to watch constantly. So, the next movie is, it's called I Used to Go Here. So this stars Gillian Jacobs, Gillian, from TV's Community. She plays a...
Oh yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah, yeah. She's, so she publishes her first novel. She's a 35-year-old author. Her book tour gets canceled following, like, low book sales. So not long after that disappointment, she gets a call from her former professor to speak at her alma mater in Illinois. And, you know, she hasn't been back in town in, like, 15 years. So when she's there, she's around all these college students, and she kind of, you know, taps back into the past a little bit, which isn't always good, but, yeah, so this is kind of, like, about adulting. Like, she's 35, she does have her shit together, but she just got out of a bad relationship, he's already moved on, and she hasn't quite moved on, and, yeah, she just kind of taps back into the past when she gets back to her old ways. You know, there's always that notion of, like, you can't go home again. And this kind of asks the question, like, can you go to college again? So, I don't know. The movie kind of has mixed messages about it, like, whether it's good or bad. But I think at the end of the day, at the end of the movie, it's pretty wise in what it wants to say. But this was, like, very familiar. You know, it's kind of a soul-searching dramedy. But I really like Gillian Jacobs. I think she's, like, a wonderful presence, and she's at the center of it. It takes a few, like, goofy comedy directions that I didn't think really fit. This is another short movie. It's 80 minutes. Wow. So, if you like Gillian Jacobs, yeah, I mean, they pack quite enough in there. It's a pretty slim movie. You know, not a lot happens. You're following her the whole time. But, yeah, it's likably acted. As I said, I keep going back to Gillian Jacobs. But it has a nice supporting cast as well. So, yeah, I don't have a lot to say about this because it's such a small, slim movie. But I liked it. I liked it well enough.
An hour and 20. It just, like, gets me that everybody's like, yeah, it's like 123 minutes.
I know.
I'm like, wait, so 2 hours and 3 minutes? That's like, it's like whenever they say, like, oh, my daughter, she's like, she's like 13 and a half months.
Right, rather than saying a year.
Oh, so she's like a little over a year.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, back to, do you remember VHS tapes? It always said, like, in minutes, like 120 minutes. It didn't say.
No, I know. I'm just joking.
You're just busting my balls. Yeah. But anyway,
it's an hour and 20.
It's 80 minutes. So yeah, it's a flick for me. It's called I Used to Go Here.
I'm glad I missed that one. Aww. You know how much I love, like, going back to the past. Like, I hate that.
I knew you wouldn't like it once I read the synopsis. But
you knew not to talk me into watching that one.
Like, play your game. Put on your earbuds.
You can watch The Secret.
Right. So I have one more to talk about, and then we'll finish up with a movie that we both saw.
Do you want to talk about the Lake Placid wannabe?
Excuse-moi. Okay, Lake Placid is a better movie because it has Betty White in it, and I mean,
obviously.
Oh my god, she's amazing. So yeah, this is called Blackwater Abyss. Blackwater colon Abyss. So this is actually a follow-up to a 2007 Australian film. It's actually from one half of the directing team from that movie. So yeah, this is a killer croc movie. The first Blackwater wasn't too bad. It was one of the more, like, serious killer crocodile movies that I've seen in a while.
Wow.
It didn't look like it was made for the Sci-Fi Channel. It's not like Blackwater Croc versus Anaconda or whatever.
Oh Lord,
no,
yeah.
Yeah,
because
those exist. But no, this is on similar ground. I did like this one a little bit more, but I would consider this more of, like, a remake with higher production values. You know, it's a pretty perfunctory setup. You have these beautiful people that, well, some of them are adventurous, some of them are very timid. They end up going into a cave system in northern Australia to go spelunking, and, well, you know, there's a torrential tropical storm that pushes them forward and seals off the passageway, and they're kind of in this, like, subterranean lake.
Kill me now.
Whatever you want to call it.
Kill me now.
And, you know, you either drown or you get in the water to be torn into shreds by a killer croc.
Oh my god. Okay, so first of all, before we get into anything else, how would you rather die? Get eaten by that or drown? Because I think I'd rather drown.
I seriously don't know, because this is, like, two of my fears. Okay, I don't have a fear of being torn to shreds by a croc.
Well, just being trapped in a place.
But yeah, this. So if you are very claustrophobic, you want to stay far away from this movie. Yeah.
And you don't like deep, dark
places. This got me. Places where yes, they're... murky. So, yeah, murky, murky water. Murky water. You cannot see
this
below. That's
why I will not go in. Like, if we go to the shore or something, I'm not going in that ocean.
Yeah.
If I can't see in that water, I'm not going in it.
Right. So, yeah. You know, there is an attempt at character development, and I kind of appreciate that. I mean, before, you know, you want to at least care a little bit about these people before they become a crocodile's dinner. So there's like a little drama between some of them. I'm not going to get into that because it's supposed to be a surprise. Yeah.
Did you think that that was needed though?
The funny thing is,
that whole turn of events with...
Well, the funny thing is, I don't know why this is being touted as a sequel to Blackwater, but it has one thing in common, or a couple things in common. There are people. And one of them is pregnant, newly pregnant. That happened in the first one. And then there's a crocodile, obviously, marking its territory. But the pregnancy part is kind of... That has
like
to do with the relationships.
Theme.
Yes, that is a common theme with these movies. But yeah. You know, these characters, they don't make dumb decisions because, I mean, you know they have to get in that damn water. And so some of them are going to have to be brave. Some of them are going to have to stay put. And yeah, it... you have to be patient with this movie though, but I think the director does a very good job of like holding a shot and making you anticipate and just keep waiting and waiting. And it made me, I had to keep pausing it because I was like flipping out because it was so tense, especially when a character is in a tiny spot with water like up to his neck and it's quiet, and he keeps checking underneath with the flashlight, keeps checking underneath, and you're like, when's this crocodile gonna come up? And yeah, it's a stressful one. but yeah,
it was
whenever...
thoughtful, yeah. Thoughtful scares.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it kind of goes the Jaws route. I'm by no means comparing this to Jaws, but like...
No, because Jaws is way better.
You don't see the crocodile for a while. That's kind of what the novelty of Jaws. You don't see the actual shark for like an hour in. So yeah, here you don't really see Mr. Croc until whatever, like 45 minutes. And once you get a good look at him, he's not like CGI fake, which is great. But yeah, you know, not a perfect movie, but with a creature feature like this, I don't really demand too much. Like, make the characters a little likable, a little sympathetic, make the creature stuff like fun, tense, have a little skill in the filmmaking. So yeah, this, it sounded like a backhanded compliment, but this is not quite as good as Crawl, the alligator during the hurricane in Florida movie with the daughter and father.
Oh yeah.
I like that one a lot more. But yeah, no, this was fun. I am never going to Australia.
I'm never going in a cave.
I'm never going into a cave.
Why do people do that? Like, no, I'm not going in something that could potentially fall on me.
Right. No. I've seen enough movies.
I'll just go into my basement. I'm fine.
Right. Like, yeah. There aren't any crocodiles down there.
Basement is as far as I'm going underground.
No crocs down there.
No. Except for a mini.
Oh, that is true. Oh, Minnie would have liked this movie. So,
I think
yeah.
She did like it.
Did she?
I think she liked it.
Did she?
Yeah.
Did
she? She was watching it.
Oh. So yeah, I would give a flick to Blackwater Abyss.
Wow, so that's three flicks in a row?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is the second movie with a subtitle. We had The Secret Dare to Dream, and we had Blackwater Abyss.
Which is so funny because the secret, I don't know, whatever, anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Let's end with, do we want to say the best movie? Yeah, I would say
the best movie of the week.
For last. Nice little surprise, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. Thanks for hanging in there. Like, sorry for the other ones.
Oh my god,
oh,
I liked
oops,
all of them.
Sorry.
It's a good secret.
I didn't.
Right, well, whatever.
In case you're on my side, thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, this is about sides. Alright.
But it is.
So,
I'm the average Joe, you were the critic.
Our bickering is so infectious. Okay. So, this movie is called
Host. 2020.
Right, yeah.
Because there was another one?
This sums up 2020. Another...
Was there another host?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, when I told you to watch it?
Yeah.
No. Just because there have been a bunch of, like, movies with host in the title, like the host.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, this is just Host. So this was actually shot during, maybe you've heard of it, COVID-19. It was during one of the lockdowns, I think in California. So this is a Zoom call horror movie. Takes place.
Brilliant.
Yes. So simple too.
Brilliant.
56 minutes, my kind of movie. Not even a full hour.
My kind of movie.
Your kind of movie.
Definitely my kind of movie.
And this is a Shudder original, so if you have Prime, Amazon Prime, and you like horror movies, get Shudder.
This is probably the easiest one of the week for you to be able to find to watch.
Probably. Mm-hmm. The cheapest.
The cheapest and
the best.
Yeah.
The most recommendable. So yeah.
High concept.
Guess what you kind of say
high
what it's
concept.
About. Oh, this is very high concept. Okay.
Virtual seance during lockdown.
Yeah, it's five girlfriends. Five girlfriends. Virtual seance. Shit gets real when they conjure something up. Yeah.
I like how it's two plays on a virus, because it's like an internet virus.
Right. Yeah.
And reality virus, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, what's his name? The director, Rob Savage, I believe his name is. I don't know what else he's done, but I hope he does more after this. He does a lot with a little. This is like no budget simplicity.
If he could do this, I'm excited.
Like, I'm really curious to see like a behind the scenes of, you know, because there are special effects, but they're like
minimal.
Right.
And you just
attach
a string to a chair and pull it.
Yeah, but you don't see the seams. Like, you don't, you know, it's pretty seamless. I mean, I know you can do a lot in post, but I'm just saying. I'm patting
them on the back.
Especially
these days, yeah.
Yeah. So this could have come off very tacky, you know, like kind of capitalizing on the quarantine a little bit, but it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't, it's about a seance. It wouldn't even have to take place during COVID-19, but I feel like, I mean, it does add, you know, an extra layer to it that makes it a little bit creepier, because it gives them a reason, you know, to why they cannot actually leave. I mean, one of them does leave, but she puts on a mask
mm-hmm.
at one point. But yeah, this does a really good job at, you know, efficiently, like, setting up the characters, kind of, like, the relationships,
I actually remembered all of their names.
You did. And
when it's also the fact that, like, I'm used to Zooms. So
right.
You
and
see
you do
the
see
name
the
on the
you
bottom
You do see
left.
The names.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, I think the actress's name, Haley Bishop, plays Haley.
Oh.
Gemma Moore plays Gemma, you know, they keep their first names.
Love that.
But yeah, you know, none of them are irritating to be around, which is
Teddy.
Nice. Besides Teddy, he's the...
And it's more so Teddy's girlfriend.
The only male. Yeah, you don't see much of her, but yeah, she's kind of a bitch.
Well, she's the influencer.
We should say something that's important about this whole thing. So the girlfriends, the five girlfriends are joined by one of the girls... medium friend. She's a medium. And, you know, in order to do the seance, they all have to be very respectful. And if they're not respectful, what, that could cause...
You always come... Yeah.
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 Positive.
In that, yes.
But, you know, somebody doesn't respect the whole process, and that's when...
Which is funny because...
down.
Oh. Well, I don't want to spoil.
Oh.
It's funny that she did it based upon the ending.
Right. Well, yeah.
Well, but I get it because it's almost like putting her through this hell.
Right. Yeah. They all go through the ringer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, we are vicariously being spooked through these girls. Like we are with them the whole way. And yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of they're calling it screen life horror. Format where, you know, it's everything, like the entire screen is a Zoom call. Like I saw Unfriended, that is a Skype call, and the entire, like, you could watch it on your computer and it'd be perfect viewing. So yeah, it's kind of like that. So that's, you know, it's not completely novel in that way, but I feel like it's very ingenious in what they do with it. You know, the I jumped maybe three times. And the jump scares are not, like, cheap. Like, they have to do with what is happening. You know, there's something with a virtual background. There's something with the Polaroid camera. They kept, like, bringing different, like, going down different avenues of some of, you know, stuff that I've seen before. Like, they never go for the obvious jolt or stuff I've seen before.
It kept you engaged.
It did, yeah.
A little slow to start.
Yeah, I know. A little bit. They're kind of meandering around, like, you know, figuring out.
But that's the beginning of a Zoom call.
Exactly. So it could be relatable in that way.
I mean, yeah. Really, it's like, oh, hey, guys.
Yeah. Right. And they do something creepy with filters, too. Remember that?
Yes.
The one girl is obsessed with filters.
Which I didn't realize that Zoom had filters. Now I'm going to have to go back and take a look.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is a lean, mean, tight little movie.
Very efficient.
Very efficient, very effective. I had goosebumps occasionally. Not a lot of horror movies do that, but I cared and I was engaged the entire time. So it's quite an experience.
I don't know if... Well, did you watch this at night?
I watched this at night.
I watched this in the middle of the day.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I wasn't so like...
All the lights were out and... Oh my god, we should watch it with the new big TV.
Yes, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to watch a good flick on the new TV.
Right.
If you guys don't follow us on social media, you probably should, because we are a hoot every now and then.
Every now and then. Yeah. New TV.
New TV. It's a 65-incher.
That's right.
Could barely fit it in the car.
Right.
In fact, had to take it out of the box to fit it in the car, but...
Yeah, we don't need that bulky box.
No.
So, yes.
So it goes without saying, Host is obviously a mutual flick.
Definitely, yes.
There were at least two decent movies of the bunch this week.
Oh, yeah.
I know you think, like, four.
Right, yeah. But definitely Host is, if this is your kind of thing, it's definitely, like, get on that. Get mm-hmm. Shudder, or however you watch movies, but it's a Shudder original. So
and
next
I think that
week...
it's cool, too, that it's so short that, like, somebody who doesn't like to take a lot of time out of their day for themselves,
right.
Like,
right,
you won't feel guilty.
Exactly.
So what's next week?
So next week, there is Spree, which I've already seen.
Like the candy?
No. It's like a
shopping spree.
It's like an Uber. It's like an Uber service, but it's called Spree.
Okay.
So there's that. There's one called Sputnik, which I have not watched yet, but I have a screener for it. And then I might be getting a screener for Project Power, which is a Netflix movie with Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So that's next week.
Just three.
As of now, yes.
I'm sure there will be another one or two.
Give me one more day. No, yeah. I really like to pick and choose. Like, I get so many emails and I there's no way.
You're learning to say no.
Oh, I've said no, but sometimes I'll be like, oh, that looks good. Yeah, I'll put it in my schedule. And then it's just, I can't get to reviewing it.
So little time.
Yes. So little time of the day, or maybe I just need to prioritize.
Hey, we all struggle.
Multitask.
With balance.
That's right.
It's balance.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, guys, be sure, like, share, follow, subscribe, comments,
all of it.
I don't know, post on a story, let us know what you think about some of these flicks or flops. Maybe you don't agree, and that's fine, because we certainly don't agree all the time,
right? But you should definitely watch Host. Let us know what you think, because I feel like that is in the conversation, at least in my Twitter feed.
For sure. I would say Host and The Secret.
Okay.
I think that those can be pretty relatable to everybody right now, especially, yeah.
You said it wrong. The Secret.
Dare to dream. Oh, Lord.
Right. Yeah.
It is as hokey as the title is, but hey, if you want, if you like Hallmark, you like Lifetime, you need something in the background, put it on.
Yeah, you need a little Hallmark in your life, right?
But... get a Fire Stick. Find it somewhere where you don't have to pay $20. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. All right.
Until next time.
Thanks, guys, for listening.